I felt like the Lord wanted me to say some things to you today, and this morning we preached a sermon and talked about the things of God. I'd like to read quite a bit of the Scripture. I always like to read a chapter or two of the Scripture when we read, and sometimes maybe I just read a verse, but I like to read a chapter or two if I can. Reading in the 1 Corinthians of the 9th chapter, beginning down at the 24th verse. Let's start right there. The 9th chapter, the 24th verse, 1 Corinthians. Let's talk about Jesus a little bit tonight, can we? Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run ye that ye may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judge of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be partakers, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jew nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You know, Paul, I guess, was one of the greatest writers that the Bible has record of. A lot of things that in the Bible that Paul wrote that hold or contain hidden mysteries. So then he was one of the greatest writers of all times. And because of that, I love to read Paul's writings. I love to preach from Paul's writings. And I love to get in the midst of a real hungry people. Now, I had somebody today, they asked me, they said, Brother Pike, why is it that when we get together here as of late, said, we as the brethren, we don't, he said, it seems that you don't just stay in Revelation like you did before. And when you're preaching, said, a number of sermons here as of late, we don't get much revelation out of the sermon. When you used to, every sermon that you preach, you'd put some revelation in. Why is that? I said, well, brother, do you remember me telling you not too long ago, a few months back, that everything was going to take a change and that our ministry would start reaching out for the lost, and that you that had a chance to get revelation are these things that are spiritual to store up now because God would make a change in it? And he said, sure, I remember that. Now, here's the thing, see, I'm still feeding off of revelation, abundance of revelation. The Lord is always talking to me and pouring my heart full of the things of God. And occasionally, when I find somebody that's pulling and tugging, then I begin to talk to them about the spiritual things. But see, we come to a time to where we are filled up. We get filled up. And then when we get filled up, then we don't feed. And when we don't feed, we don't draw because we're not hungry, we're not thirsty. See, if you're filled up, you're not going to be hungry and thirsty. And if you're not hungry and if you're not thirsty, then certainly you're not going to draw. Isn't that right? So then we come to a place to where we don't tug at the Spirit and the heart of God, and we don't draw anything in the Spirit. That's the difference. Now then, when many of you came here, you were very hungry. And you begin to tug and you begin to pull, and the Spirit of God began to come, and God began to empty out and begin to bless. Whereas He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God's well is so filled that it never runs dry. It never runs dry. But if we continue to be blessed of God, and if we continue to grow in God, then we must continue to be hungry. We must continue to be hungry. But see, there is a different age that is coming in. A different age. Now, you might say, Brother Pike, I don't see any difference in this age than I have any other age. But if you notice here, Paul, I want you to remember this now. Paul said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Now, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that was many hundreds of years ago, and Paul was speaking to those people. I know that he was. But did you notice that he also made the statement that I am as one born out of season? Isn't that right? So then when Paul spoke of the end of the world and the people upon whom the end of the world had come, Paul was also bringing an epistle to you and I that someday would express itself to us to let us know in this hour that we are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. All right, so then we say we are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Now, we don't seek to change the Word of God, because when we look back in the days of Peter and the days of James and the days of Paul, all of those men back there, see, we know that that was the end of the world. I've said this a number of times. Now, you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that was the end of the world back there? When the Lord Jesus died at Calvary, that was the end of the world. That's why Peter spoke as he did, and that's why Paul spoke as he did, because they recognized that that was the end of the world. Ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. When Jesus died at Calvary, that was the fullness of time. For God, in the fullness of time, sent forth His Son. That Son was born of a woman. That Son was made under the law. That Son was sent in the fullness of time. Now you say, but Brother Pike, if Calvary was the fullness of time, then what is this that we're in out here in this day? See, the thing that we've got to remember is that God is a spirit, and God works by faith, and God rewards every man according to his faith. So then, if that was the fullness of time, we who are living in this day can only be partakers as the time and age and perspective of the hour that it was Calvary by faith to us is today. Have you understand what I'm saying? Calvary to them, to us, it's today. Calvary to us today because we believe in Calvary today. I couldn't believe in Calvary then. I wasn't born then. Have you understand what I'm saying? That generation was back there. They could see that is the end of the world. But see, this is another generation. Peter said, now this generation, you're at the end of the trail. There's enough knowledge come to you. There's enough understanding come to you. That brethren, you're at the end of the trail. It's the end of the world for you. But see, they couldn't say that for Brother Pine. I wasn't even born back there. But see, now here I am in this day, and I've come to understand what they knew. Now then, this generation knows what they knew. And so then history repeats itself. You are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Because you know God's will and you know God's way. So then, beloved, when we come to the place to where we know God's will and we know God's way, then the ends of the world has come upon us. All right, so we see such a beautiful thing in God. We see a great plan, a great masterpiece that no other man could ever make. No other man could ever conceive. It's a great masterpiece that God hath made. It fits every life. It fits every individual. It fits every age. It fits every circumstance. Only God could have done something like that. All right. You know, you make an automobile today. That automobile is good for Brother Pike's generation. But I'll tell you what, if there's another generation coming, that automobile will be out of date. Because scientists has not been able to come up with a plan that is sufficient for every generation. But oh, hallelujah, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that Jesus has come up with a plan that's good for every generation. It works in every case. It works just perfect. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thought to know that God has a perfect plan, and that plan is the plan of salvation that He has given to you and to me. All right, so then we're grateful because we know that God is the all-sufficient God, that God has made everything just right. See, here we are. Who are we? We are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Now, we are those people, just as it was in the days of Moses, when they come out of Egypt, they came out of Egypt under the power and leadership of God. The cloud was over them. There the pillar of fire was with them, and they came out under the leadership of the great, mighty God of heaven and earth. Every one of them felt that God had favored them. Why? Because they said, well, now look, we were down in Egypt. We were in captivity. Here we are. We're out of Egypt. Surely, surely He's our God. That's where we make a great mistake. The Jews made a great mistake in feeling that God was their God when they did not try to serve God. Is that right? They made a mistake because when Jesus came in, they were telling Him that God was their God. He's my Father. Jesus said, don't go saying that now. He said, because God is able of these rocks to raise up children unto Abraham. Don't go talking like that. See, in the days of Moses, because God had given them a great deliverance, brought them out of the land of Egypt and put them over there under the powers and leadership of Moses, them being a commonwealth in the wilderness there, they said, we are the people of God. But the Bible tells us a little farther down the trail, God began to weed out and God began to separate and God began to put them to the test, and they suddenly found out that they were not the people of God. Many of them discovered that they were not the people of God. To their sorrow, they found out they had been numbered with those people, but they were not the people of God. All that is of Israel, or with Israel, is not of Israel, but in Isaac shall my seed be called. For with many of them God was not well pleased. Were they not all under the cloud? Were they not all following Moses as they came out of Egypt? But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Isn't that right? Why is this? First of all, it's because even though they were together, yet back into Egypt was their treasures. Back into Egypt was their relatives. Back into Egypt was their friends. Back into Egypt was the thing that they desired. They were relative to Egypt. They were relative to those people back there. They came to love the things of Egypt and desire the garlic and the onions of Egypt. Isn't that right? And when they got out of Egypt, all they did was mumble and grumble against Moses and against the ministry, and they never would obey the ministry. The Bible said God was not well pleased with them. Why was that? Because they turned back into Egypt in their heart. See, folks, you may be religious. You may be with the church. You might have come over the hurdle, as we say. But if your heart is not in Christ, you're not of God. If your mind is back in Egypt, then that's where you belong. If your treasures are back in Egypt, then you're not with God. If you still have the old ambition, the old desire, that old nature that you one time had to excel in the world and be something in the world, you don't belong to God. See, you've never had that great cleansing, that great purging, that great washing that God gives. You understand what I'm saying? All of them were under the cloud. All of them came out of Egypt, but many of them turned back into Egypt in their heart. See, the old lust of the flesh, the old desire of the flesh, the old ambition of the flesh, the old lust of the eyes. See, and the Bible said they lusted after evil things and God was not pleased with them. So then I have set these things, God said, for your example, that inasmuch as they lusted after evil things, that you should not lust after these evil things. Seeing that God was not pleased with them, and many of them were destroyed in the wilderness because they lusted after the things of this world. All right, so there we are. We see that God is not going to tolerate our thoughts, our ambition, and our desires intermingled with the world. Come out from among them and be a separate people, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. We've got to come out from among the world, get away from the world if we're going to belong to God. We can't belong to God and belong to the world. He tells us here, the great apostle said, you cannot eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. God will not serve you at His table if you eat at the table of devils. I would not have you offering sacrifice unto devils. And I tell you that the things that the Gentiles offer, they offer unto devils, he said. Therefore, if you be friends of the Gentiles and you be friends of the world, do not offer your services unto devils. When you're ambitious to have all of the things of the world, are you not offering sacrifice unto devils? In that the devils desire the lust of the flesh and the things of the flesh. And in that you are following the desire of the flesh and the ambitions of the flesh. Are you not sacrificing your strength and your ambition and your thinking and your understanding unto devils? In that the devils have taken you into captivity and they're working through your flesh to get control of those materialistic things. In that Jesus said, Satan savors the things that be of this world. Therefore I would not have you sacrificing unto devils, he said. So then we see what a beautiful picture it is to know that we belong to God, that we are the sons of the living God, that we are free from all of the things of the world. Do you desire again, Paul said, to be under bondage to the beggarly elements of this world, having escaped the corruption of this world? Do you desire again to turn and go back into the things of this world and have the web of Satan woven over you once again? Now that we are free from the things of this world, let's stay free from the things of this world. So then it is so good to be a Christian. When we read about these great things that the writer tells us, the Bible says these are for our admonition. These are for us to think upon. These are something that we should consider that we might be free from those things that are out there in the world. All of them were under the cloud. I say that we're all under the Holy Spirit. You say, Brother Pike, how are we all under the Holy Spirit? Because he said in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Is that right? I will pour out upon all flesh my Spirit. I will do it. All of them were under the cloud. I will pour out of my Spirit. In the latter times, I will pour out of my spirit. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. In that day, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters, they'll prophesy. They'll prophesy. You know, a lot of people, they say, well, I don't see God in this age, and I don't see God doing anything, and I don't believe God has done anything, and the whole thing is just a nothing. Don't be foolish. Don't you be foolish. You better believe that God didn't lie. That during this age and during the period of time, God has poured out of His Spirit, and God has been doing something. You know, we've got a lot of Thomases in the world that says, if I can't stick my hand into the wounds, then I won't believe. You've got to show me this and show me that, or I don't believe that God's doing anything. But when God said, I'll pour out of my spirit upon your sons and daughters, He meant every word of it, and God has done it. When God said, they shall see visions, brothers and sisters, they've seen visions. You might not believe the visions. You might say, well, I don't believe anybody sees visions. And you might narrow it down to one person or two persons or three persons, but God said they would see visions. And I want you to know they've seen visions. Somebody said, well, you don't mean to tell me that you call that a vision, that you really had a vision. Either we had a vision or God lied about it, and God can't lie. So then, according to the Spirit of God, God poured out of His Spirit. And your young men have been seeing visions through this age. They've seen visions. They've seen great things. Great and mighty things have taken place. Now, I know we got a lot of Balaams. I realize that all they want to do is curse something good. They're so warped up and twisted up in their mind, they never prophesy anything about God or prophesy anything that's edifying to the church or that helps the church. But always they want to curse God's people. That's of the devil, and it's the spirit of Balaam. Always wanting to curse God's people. How can you curse that God is blessed? Someday God will cut you asunder for that kind of foolishness. Now I know that God's got prophets in the land where He speaks the words of judgment. I know that He upbraids us for our wrong, and I know He corrects us. But anywhere in the Old Testament when a prophet came through preaching the gospel or prophesying, it was because the church world had gotten out of tune with God. It was because Israel was out of tune with God. They come prophesying not to kill Israel, not to destroy Israel, but to bring Israel to God. God doesn't want to kill people. When people get in a rut of wanting to kill somebody, they're of the devil. God doesn't want to destroy humanity. The Bible said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I'd like for the wicked to repent of their sins. How much less does God have pleasure in the death of the saints? For He said, the death of the saints is precious in my sight. I will make all of their beds in the time of their sickness. When people come prophesying destruction, destruction, destruction upon everybody, upon everything, I haven't got 15 cents worth of confidence in what they say. They don't move me. They don't bother me. It doesn't mean anything to me. I know that they're all together mixed up and need help. Well, let me tell you something. When a man comes speaking God's word, the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. When a man comes speaking God's word, brother, you better shake and tremble. Because that man's got God in his heart. Now, so then what is God out to do? He's out to try to save humanity. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the Lord Jesus Christ, that His world, His creation, His people might be saved. Hallelujah. He said, I know my thoughts towards you that they're not evil, but my thoughts towards you are good. Listen, children of God, you hear me. There is nothing that the devil likes better than to get a wedge over your head or get something over your head or hold something over your head to make you feel like you're backslid and make you feel like that you're not right with God and make you feel like that you're out in the back alley somewhere to where he can put some kind of disease on you or tear you down or rob you of your prosperity. What he's trying to do is tear your faith down. God has not given you the spirit of fear, if God has not given you the spirit of fear, then who gave it to you? God teaches you faith. God lifts you up. God encourages you. God wants to heal you. God wants to save you. God wants to do something for you, beloved. All right, now, I warned the wicked. You warned the wicked. We warned the wicked. The Bible said, warn the wicked that he turn from his wicked ways that he might live. Don't pounce on him to kill him, but warn him that he might turn from his wicked ways that he might live. You've got relatives that are wicked. I've got relatives that are wicked. And brother, I'm trying to warn them. I've been warning them to try to get them to turn around where God can save them. We get in a rut over predestination. We get to the place to where we say, bless God, they're predestinated. There ain't no need to preach nothing. If they're God's seed, they're coming, and that's it. That's a lie of the devil. You can't go by that. God said, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. There's a reason for God sending a preacher into the world. If predestination was going to take care of it, God would never have to have to send a preacher into the world. Part of the predestinated plan of God was the preacher to preach them under conviction. That was God's predestination. Amen. That they hear the gospel and that they repent of their sins. Now, somebody said, well, if I'm going to make it, I'm going to make it. If I ain't going to make it, I ain't going to make it. I can tell you to start with, you ain't going to make it. I can give you a full word of prophecy and a sure word of prophecy. You take that attitude and sit down and do nothing, and you're going to die and go to hell, friend. Now, you remember what I told you. All Judas had to do was betray Christ, and he died. He went to hell. Is that right? The Bible said it had been good if that man had never been born. Why was it that Judas went to hell? Why was it? Somebody said, well, it was because God predestinated him to hell. God predestinated him to hell because God saw his wicked evil deeds before he was ever born. Isn't that right? Somebody said, now that isn't the way God done it. The Bible said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Why did he hate Esau? There's no respect to a person with God. He saw the wretched life that Esau would live when he come into this world. And friend, he foresees the wretched life that you're going to live or the righteous life that you're going to live. Oh, you say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? The Bible said we are elect according to foreknowledge and predestinated. We are predestinated according to the election. Come on now. In other words, according to what God foresee, that's the way he predestinated us. Is that right? We are elect according to what God foresaw that we would do. Is that right? So then what God foresaw will turn out to be, that's what we'll turn out to be. Is that right? Not because he made us do it, but because we did it of our own sovereignty. Praise God. I'm feeling so much better. Let's go on talking about this good old way. Hallelujah. Let's go on talking about the Lord. When you make God a just God and a holy God and a righteous God and a pure God that loves everybody, that's not willing that the wicked should perish but repent of his sins, then you look out there and if you've got a brother, a sister, a daddy and mother, you grab a hope and you say, my God, he's got a chance. My God, he's got a chance. But if you look back there and you say God's predestinated them to hell, they're sucking on a cigarette and they're drinking, they can't go. Oh, my brother and sister, that's the end of it. Why pray? Who has the heart to pray? Who has the heart to fast? Who has the heart to do anything? Who has the heart to go preach? Do I have the heart to go preach to a bunch of people that's predestinated to hell? Come on now. You say, well, don't you believe they're predestinated to hell? I believe they're predestinated to hell by foreknowledge. But I'm just talking about predestinated to hell, period. I've got the heart to go preach to people that's predestinated to hell by foreknowledge. You say, well, how you do that if you know they're going to hell? Because I want God to be just in the day of judgment. I say, look here, I preach the gospel to you. That gives you a chance to repent of your sins. And God saw through your wickedness you wouldn't repent of your sins. And the day of judgment, when God looks at him, God will say, I sent Brother Pike over there. He preached the gospel to you. You could have repented of your sins just like anybody else. And I can say, hallelujah. Glory to God, I told you. And God will be just in the day of judgment when he stands there and tells them. See, that's what God wanting, that he might be just when he speaks. Hallelujah. He gives them a chance. Beloved friend, you're breathing right now. You can hear right now. You can think right now. You can walk right now. All you got to do is come to God. Let whosoever will come. God said, let whosoever will come. You're the one who decides. I might say, well, he done saw me in hell. He ain't saw you nowhere except where you're willing to go. And when he foresaw you in hell out yonder, he foresaw you after you was dead and in your grave. He foresaw you after the world was over. But you're still breathing, you're still living. Right now is the deciding point of what God foresaw. Hallelujah. Decide now what God foresaw. By surrendering unto God, he that cometh unto God, God shall in no wise cast him out. Therefore determine what God foresaw. Peter enumerated some things. He said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. Oh, hallelujah. What a wonderful thought. To know that he is the great, almighty God, and yet he is so sweet and loving and kind. And he made a way for me. He made a way for me that I can of my own ability choose whichever way I want to go. He's not cruel. He's not ugly. He's not bad. He's good. He's good. Hallelujah. He's good. Praise God. He's good. He's kind. He has given me opportunity to repent of my sins. If I want to live in Georgia, I can live in Georgia. If I want to live in Alabama, I can live in Alabama. If I want to live on the creek bank, I can live on the creek bank. Amen. If I want to make me a houseboat and live over in China, I can do that too. If they'll let me stay over there. Amen. You can do it. See, if you want to be a rambler and ramble up and down the road, you can do that. If you want to be a gossiper, you can do that. If you want to be a fault finder, you can do that. There's all kind of devils and demons waiting to take your body to use it for their own benefit out there. All right, so now wait a minute, Brother Pike. You're getting all excited and getting beside yourself over the thing. Well, maybe I am beside myself. But Paul said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for God. That's the word. All right, now, let's talk just a few more minutes, can we? What is it? All of them were under the cloud. Every one of them was under the cloud. All of them were under the cloud. See, all of the world is under the Spirit of grace. God has poured out of His Spirit. All of them are under that beautiful Spirit of grace. And by the precious shed blood of the Son of God, today you can have grace. They're all under the cloud, all under the mercies of God. But the Bible said with many of them, God was not well pleased. I think I can say today that with many people, even in the church world, that God is not well pleased. They're looking back into Egypt. Isn't that right? They're looking back into Egypt. A lot of church people are beginning to enjoy the things of the world. God's putting them to the test. Is that right? Not only were they all under the cloud, but brother, the pillar of fire followed all of them. Isn't that right? The pillar of fire was right there. The blood of Jesus Christ, which is the fire, the consuming fire of God. For he shall baptize thee with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That Holy Ghost cloud is over us, but that pillar of fire, that blood of Christ, that's intermingled with that cloud, is also there. It's here. It's over everybody through the Spirit of grace. It's there, but one of these days there's going to be a change. You know, let me say this. We have just come through what we call a mobile age. We're talking about this today. Having come through a mobile age, there is a change. You know, when God called Moses, he reached down into Egypt. He picked up the people, and out of Egypt came hundreds and thousands of people. Isn't that right? When God sent Brother Branham, a great prophet of God, there was great miracles, there was great signs, there was great wonders like Moses worked back there. Is that right? And out of Egypt came the people. They turned away from the world and they saw these great signs and these great wonders. And they turned away from the world and they got rid of many things and began to follow. See, and they said, glory to God, this is it. We found it. God has sent Moses the deliverer. And they shouted and they sang and they testified that they were gods and all the rest of the world was a bunch of dogs. But all of a sudden, God called for Moses. And there they were, left alone in a frustration, not knowing what to do, thinking, Lord, what have we done? What have we done? Where's Moses? Where's this man Moses? Come on now. Come on now. And all of a sudden, Aaron came on the scene. Isn't that right? That's the way it was. And the church got split up in splinters. That's right. And one got a church here, and one got a church there, and one got one over yonder, and they all got their little part. Isn't that the way it is? When Jesus was here, they was listening to Jesus. But when they killed Jesus, everybody got their own thing going. Isn't that right? Constantine come in about 300, and he got his own thing going, and everything looked good. See, that's the way it was. Now, so them, all of them were under the cloud. All of them came over the Red Sea. All of them came out by the mighty signs and wonders. But then the man Moses was taken away. They couldn't figure out where he went to. They couldn't figure out what happened to him. What was it? It was just one great confusion. One great bewilderment. And everybody trying to prove what was right. Nobody would listen to Aaron. Aaron was afraid they'd stone him to death. You know, Aaron represented a ministry. Nobody wanted to pay any attention to ministers. You know why? Because a lot of the ministers were just like the people. Come on now. Amen. First thing we'll do is take an offering. And they brought all their gold and all their silver. Isn't that right? If I get all their gold and all their silver, then they're going to look in my direction because I got all their income. Come on now. That's what Saul did. He enslaved all of them. Is that right? That's exactly what Aaron was doing. But then when he collected everything and got everything together, they said, this man Moses, we don't know where he's at. So then when Aaron thought it was going to kill him, he began to, you know, they have a little suggestion box. They set up a little suggestion box and said, everybody drop in their suggestion. In other words, I want to save my head. You drop in your suggestion and we'll get the ones that's got the most. And we can withstand the rest, and we'll do whatever the most wants to do. We'll cast lots about this thing. Isn't that right? Sure, and that's the way it goes, see? So they said, we want a golden calf. Well, we'll look in the pot and see if we've got enough money and gold and silver in here. It is. Well, we'll see if we can come up with one. Come on now. Somebody say, I love Jesus. That sounds foreign to some of you. I don't believe it's that foreign. We'll see what we can come up with. Where is this man Moses? You know? So the ministry decided that they knowed what was said and what was done and how it was supposed to be run. And everyone, they knew about as much as the other did about what the brother wanted when he went off the scene, didn't they? So this brother said, you come over to my church, I'll tell you what it is. This other brother said, you come over to my church and I'll tell you what it is. This other brother said, we've got it all in the quotes right here. So one day Jesus came on the scene. Said it's in the quotes. Said it's in the quotes. Jesus said, I'm the one that wrote the quotes. Yeah, but we can't find you in the quotes. He said, if you didn't know anything about the quotes, you'd have known it was me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! If you'd have known Moses, you'd have known me, Jesus said. Because he spoke of me. They turned him out of the synagogue. And he couldn't find a place anymore. Why? Why was it? Gotten so far and got away from the truth, got away from the Word of God. The church world today, the deacons running around in shorts and the children running around in swimming trunks and everybody's going to the ball game and everybody's having a frolic. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Everybody wants a golden calf. You can't tell who's who anymore. Come on now. Can't tell who's who anymore. Praise be unto God. Walked into Bolivia down yonder, walked into a church. The Lord seemed to be warning me not to go. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to hurt the man's feelings. God, be merciful to me. Lord, help me. Maybe I'll reach somebody. Lord, you understand. And God wasn't understanding at all. It didn't appear. And I walked into the church and here the pastor was up before hundreds of people. And he was just a raven and a going on before hundreds of people, people in the balcony, people on the lower level, saying, I thank God the way God has worked with us in our sports this year. Come on, folks. Come on, people. Our football game is really doing it. I believe this is going to be a great year for our athletes. I said, Lord God, let me get out of this place. I done had the vision about the tomb where I was in it and saw these people praying to God over football and basketball games and baseball games and all of these kind of things. And saw it with abomination in the sight of God. I said, God, let me out of this place. I told that man before I could get set down, I said, sir, forgive me, I made a great mistake. He looked at me kind of funny. I said, I got to get out of here. And I turned and I got out of there. And oh, I was so grateful to God to get out of that place. I'm telling you the truth, so help me God. I said, my God, Lord, forgive me. Everybody's wanting a golden calf. See, they got some mixed up until the deacon don't know what's right. They got pool rooms and pool tables and hockey games and running and jumping rope and leaping hurdles and I don't know what all they've got. One of the leading outstanding ministers of our day left his revival, walked off and left his revival to go to his basketball team. Said he had to choose between them and he chose, according to report, he chose the basketball team and left the people and left the revival. God have mercy on such a wretched people. They've gotten so far away from God, away from righteousness, away from understanding, away from the Word, till they'll do anything anymore. Jesus said, Moses spoke of me, but they said, we don't know you. We don't know you. But he said, Moses told you about me. He said, look, folks. He said, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they that testify of me. He said, search the Scriptures. The Scriptures testify of me. Is that right? You think you've got faith in the Word and you think the Scriptures is where your eternal life is. Don't you know that these Scriptures, these are they that testify of me? Don't you know this was the prophecy of me all down the through the years? Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. So then, here we are. Where are we at? And the people said, my God, what's happened to Moses? Well, we can't worry about him. We can't worry about him. We're busy people. We got things to do. That's all. Don't worry about him. We got plenty more to do anyway. Come on now. Ain't no need to worry about it. After all, he's just another fella. But boy, what a fella. God said faithful in all of his house. Come on now. And the Bible said, who is like unto my man Moses? Said there's no man in all the land like unto my man Moses. Faithful in all of his house. Oh, he's just some other fella. But my, what a fella. What a fella. So then he said, where is this Moses? We don't know what's happened to this Moses. We ain't got time to stay here around this mountain and go round and round like a bunch of Indians. Let's do something, Aaron. Aaron said, he's about to stone me to death. Said, what can we do? Well, we make us a golden calf. Come on now. And we'll go. Rah, rah, rah. Come on now. Rah, rah, rah. Ain't that right? Worship the star Rephaim. Is that right? The all stars, you know. Rah, rah, rah. Let's make it the golden calf, somebody said. But when Moses came down off of that mountain and Moses did return to them, when he came down off of that mountain, he said, look, what have you folks been doing down here? What's the matter with you? And God was wroth with them people, and God did take Moses away from them then. And God did leave them there then. Is that right? They had broken that covenant of Moses. That stone was broken. They'd thrown it down. That old stony heart wouldn't take it. God broke it. At Calvary, he broke it. when he nailed Jesus to the cross, he broke it and said, that which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. Said, I gave you a law and none of you keep it. For it was engraven in stones. But I will take out that heart of stone and place within you a heart of flesh and write my laws upon the table of your heart. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God by having faith in what the Heavenly Father said. Let this mind be in you. Now, where are we at? See, they got left in a wilderness. Look at Brother Branham's people, scattered to the winds. Look, not only Brother Branham's people, but hundreds and millions of people around the world that heard of William Branham and the greatness of that prophet. But they don't know what happened to him. They're confused. A great and a mighty soldier, great and a mighty man. But look at what's happened. Where is this man Moses? Oh, but did God leave him without witness? What was it? It was a day of transit. Just give me a few more minutes. We're going to close. A day of transit. Where was it? It was a mobile time. See, they'd been down there in Egypt for 430 years. And they were going over to Canaan. They were going to pitch camp over there. And once they got to Canaan, it was going to stay in Canaan. But brother, it was a mobile time. They had the RVs from the time they crossed the Red Sea till they got across Jordan. Isn't that right? You know those recreational vehicles, they're a type of this body. Did you know that? This body's our little RV. Did you know that? We're in this little RV. That man on the inside, he's in there and he's driving around. And if he don't wreck up, he'll be all right. Going through the wilderness, you know, crossing over from that old Egyptian mind of garlic and onions, that old mind of a man down there, or that old intellectual thing down there, coming out of that thing and trying to get over here to the mind of Christ by the way of the wilderness to the mind of the devil. Isn't that right? That intellectual reasoning interwoven with that old wilderness, trying to figure this thing out, trying to get it through quotes and everything else, trying to get it through law. They can't do it like that. Jesus said, that isn't the way it comes. It is spiritually discerned. And they said, look, said, when are you going to set this thing up? We read all about it. Been studying it for years. Jesus said, it don't come like that. It doesn't come by observation. It's within a man. You've got to believe in what I'm telling you. You've got to be translated into this thing. It's a spiritual revelation. You can't fast into it. You can't pray into it. You've got to be translated into it. So then, they said, wherefore have we fasted and you didn't listen to us? Why can we have been praying and you didn't pay any attention to us? It was a mobile time. Listen, folks. It's been a mobile time. People have been on the move. Isn't that right? The change of the change of the woman when she goes through a change, the church. It's been a change. I wish we had time to preach a sermon tonight, but we're going to have to stop here in just a few minutes. See, it's a mobile time. It's a mobile time. We're passing over. We're in transit. Always moving. You can't hardly catch a plane. Got down in Miami and you couldn't even hardly get a plane out of there. So many planes moving, and yet so many people, you couldn't even hardly get a plane out of there. See, it's a mobile age. It's a transit age. Everybody's moving. But now look, we're coming to the end of it. Now, you know, isn't it beautiful the way God does things? When God gets ready for the RVs to stop, you know what He does? He just lifts the price of gas. He lets a little shortage come in. Now, can you picture that? God who made heaven and earth. God, you're short of gas. We can't run our RVs anymore. Can't you just picture that? And Jimmy, he's all nervous and tore up because God's short on fuel. Don't you know better than that? God's been running this thing for a long time. Ain't no need nobody having a nervous breakdown. The Bible just tells us that God works all things after the counsel of His own will. And when God gets ready to do something, He does something. And every spiritual thing has to have a natural time. And right here at the end of this mobile age and this transit age, God is trying to settle us down. He's bringing us into that peace age, into that millennium. We're getting over the Jordan. Somebody said, wait a minute, right there now, Brother Pike. I got hung up. What do you mean getting over the Jordan? Well, you've got to admit we praised education and we said our kids have got to get an education. If they have to wear rags, if we have to eat cornbread and taters, they're going to get an education. They're not going to work for a living like I do. And they got an education and now they don't work for a living like you do. You just keep on working for a living and pay for the dope and get them out of jail while they frolic. Come on now. Because that's what you told them. See, we praised the old tree of knowledge. And that right, it brought death. It brought corruption to us. But now we're crossing over the Jordan. We're beginning to see the ugliness of that thing. And we're beginning to see the iniquity of that thing and get over that old educational system that we tried to push down the throats of our children. See, we're beginning to realize that that isn't the way, that God is the answer to it. That's why they're singing the songs of Zion. That's why they're going back, getting their harps off of the willows. And they're beginning to sing the songs of Zion again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When Babylon down there, they said, sing us a song. I said, how in the world can we sing the songs of Zion? We've hung our harps on the willows and the weeping willows at that. You understand what I'm saying? But see, when the time of rejoicing came, hallelujah, and the Bible said that day of deliverance drawed nigh. They reached back and they got them harps off of the willows. They dried them tears from their eyes. The Lord said, look up, thy redemption draweth nigh. And they began to look up to glory. Hallelujah, and their deliverer was born. They began to turn their eyes toward that great move of God. Hallelujah. When we get over this rah, rah, rah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we get over that and get away from that. And when we begin to look to God, and when we get away from the professors, and we begin to listen to the preacher, and when we begin to say, hallelujah, praise the name of Jesus, and we turn back to God and get our minds on Christ. Oh, my brother and my sister, what a day that shall be. Hallelujah. So the time of the promise drew nigh. The time of the promise drew nigh. Isn't that right? The time of the promise drew nigh. For ye are the people upon whom the end of the world have come. Them Bible scholars begin to search. They begin to look. Somebody said, look, look, where's it at? It's in there somewhere. Some little old boy came up and sat down in the midst of them. Said, what y'all looking for? We're looking for the promise. Look. They went to the Jesus, you know, he said, now, do you understand what I'm saying? Say, what you fellas looking for? You know, when he resurrected from the dead, he walked on the way to Emmaus with them over there and he said, what's going on? They said, well, haven't you heard? Now you tell me. What is it? Oh, my. Hallelujah. All of these great denominational powers sitting around in Bible scholars. We know he's coming. Going to be a rapture. We're going to get out of here. You just wait and see. Rah, rah, rah. Here they go. The tigers and the elephants. That's right. We're just waiting for him to come. He's already blessed our team and he'll be the all-star when he gets here. I'll tell you what. Brother, when their leader gets there, he'll be a fallen star. That's right. When he gets there, he'll be a fallen star. But Jesus wanted to know what they were looking for. There he sat in the midst of them. There sat the promise that God said would come, and they didn't know nothing about it. They were blind as they could be. A little child sitting in their midst, and when they finally got through, they began to ask a few questions. I could ask you a question. Yeah, yeah, I said, and I'd like to answer a few of your questions too. You know, that's getting pretty bold, isn't it? That's getting pretty bold. Remind me of what Richard said about the little boy 4 years old when he began to tan the seat of his pants. I won't say that. 4 years old, but he knew what was going on. Now Jesus sat there in the midst of the doctors and the lawyers, and the Bible said he asked the doctors of the law certain questions, and then after he answered them or asked them certain questions, then he answered certain questions. And then those old fellas sitting there probably pulling on their beard, you know, wondering what in the world. Name of heaven is this. You know, and when he got through, he just walked off and left them sitting there, and they probably sat there staring at each other, nobody knowing what to say or what to do. And he was gone out of their midst. Oh, listen to me, folks. Let's wake up. The Bible said when they awoke, they saw His glory when their eyes were open. Let's look. Let's open our eyes. And the time of the promise drew near. Where is the promise of His coming? Where is the sign of His coming? Have God forsaken us? Did God take Moses and leave him down there to die? No, He didn't do that. He didn't do that. Let me say this right hurriedly in closing. There's just a lot of other things we need to say here. But let me say this in closing. He didn't do that. When Elijah went over that brook, God didn't leave them people, did He? God didn't leave them. There was another boy standing down. He might have been standing in raggedy pants. I don't know. He was a farm boy. He wasn't a rich fellow. And there he stood, and with that chariot began to leave the earth. And when those great fiery horses began to paw the ground, as we say, and Elijah looked back and began to wave. And that fellow looked up and said, "Oh my God. Oh my God. Don't you know it must have tore him to pieces?" He probably said, went weak as water and said, "Oh my God, my God, my God." Isn't that right? The chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And old Brother Elijah throwed the mantle back. And he grabbed it up. And he probably stood there. He might have stood there for 30 minutes shaking like a leaf. Well, somebody said he probably just got it and took off. I don't think so. He probably stood there about like this. You know, until he got over the shakes. That's right, about shook all to pieces. And then when he realized that Elijah was gone and what he saw, and he calmed down, he probably took that thing. My God, I remember His words. He said, if I saw Him when He went away, I could have what I asked for. And folks, do you know what I asked for? I said, give me a double potion. Isn't that what He said? Give me a double potion of it. All you got to do is see me when I go away. He said, you can have it. He said, I saw Him. I saw Him. He throwed out his chest, so to speak, and walked back over there to that river. He said, get away back, Jordan. Hallelujah. Elisha's coming across. Amen. 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 That's exactly what he did. He said, get out of the way. That's the way he did it. And the Bible said when he come over there and the sons of the prophet saw the mantle of Elijah or the anointing of God upon him, the Bible said they fell on their face. They had never fell on their face before Elisha before. If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. I said today, if a man comes up out there and he's a prophet, and I say, hey, go out there, there's a prophet out there. And somebody say, you mean that fella standing out yonder? I say, yeah, him. I say, hey, would one of you fellas run out there and tell that guy and come on in here? You receive that guy in the name of a guy, and you'll receive a guy's reward. Is that right? Is that right? And I say, what do you mean by that? I mean, one time they got that prophet upset over there, and he told them, I ain't going to tell you nothing. They received his reward. Isn't that right? Because they didn't believe what he said. But one fella standing over there said, now, wait a minute, I believe you're a prophet. Isn't that right? Now, I'm receiving you in the name of a prophet. I believe you're God's man. Boy, that made something turn over down here and begin to churn. See, God said, no doubt said, I'm recognized. I'm recognized. He knows I'm in here. And then that voice began to say, yea, thus saith the Lord. Oh, he said in the name of a prophet, and he got that prophet's reward. Isn't that right? He got what was down in there. That's what we need today. Lord, let me tell you something. We're not to know any man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If I can know you as a son of God today, I can get a son of God's reward. If I can know you as a member of the body of Jesus Christ today, I can get what I'm looking for. For the Bible said it divers time in sundry manners, a sundry time in divers manners. God spoke to those prophets. Is that right? Divers means difference in different times back there. at sundry times, different manners, God spoken to the prophets. In this last day, spoken to us by the body of Jesus Christ, by the Son of God. For the gifts are in the church, the voices in the church. From within His temple He speaks, let all the world keep silent. For God is within His temple. Have in this latter time spoken to us by His own Son, Jesus Christ, the voice of God from within. Can you hear the voice? And it shall come to pass, and in that day they shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and whosoever heareth my voice shall live. He that believeth on me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. He that heareth my words and believeth on my words shall never die, nor come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Is that right? Hallelujah. God said, Joshua, the spirit of Moses is upon you. And Moses put the spirit upon him. And he said, see that you do all things according to the way that I instructed Moses. And go back and tell him that my servant Moses has passed on over. That he's dead. He was dead to them. Did you know that? When a man leaves this world, he's dead to them. Did you know that? Just go and tell him he's gone. He's gone. They couldn't hardly believe it. They couldn't believe that Elijah was gone. He looked all around the mountaintop. Elisha said, he ain't there. He's gone. Folks, listen. Don't you know that God has never left Himself without witness? We're sons and daughters of God. Is that right? We are the sons of God. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I can receive you, not looking on you as the flesh, but as the body of the Almighty God, esteeming others better than myself, submitting myself one to another, unto you, listening for the voice of the Almighty God, what will I get from God? Oh, are we lacking in anything? Do we come short in anything? In that we are the body of Almighty God, and all of the Spirit without measure is in the body of God, which is the church? Are we short of anything? Shall He withhold any good thing from them that walk upright before us? Shall He not freely with Christ give us all things? If He hath given us His very best to start with, which is Jesus Christ His Son, shall He not with Jesus Christ freely give us all things? Having given us the best to start with, is there anything better than what He hath given us? If it be less than that which He gave us first, shall not He give us the less, having given us the better first? Well, I wish that I could say a lot of things to you. My heart is enlarged toward you. I wish that I could say a lot of things, because there's so many things I'd like to say. But I refrain from saying them. And I hold back from saying them. Not anything that would be edifying to you, but something that would make you rejoice, and yet not make some of you rejoice. It would be grievous. But nevertheless, it is wonderful. Let's stand together, can we? While they come to the piano and organ, and the instruments, let's think on Jesus. I who am less than the least, Paul said, less than nothing, stand with you tonight as a brother, loving you and interested in you, trying to help and do my little bit. While around the world, great men of God and great women of God, the body and temple of the Almighty God, is with you, for there is a door that is open in heaven. That door is abundantly open in heaven toward you. And brothers and sisters, you don't realize what you're missing. You don't realize the great, wonderful things that you have now. Not hereafter, not later, but now. Now are you the sons of God. Hallelujah. And all things are now yours. All things. For He hath given us all things that pertain unto life. All that we desire. What a wonderful hour. What a wonderful day. Let's sing a little chorus together. Can we sing that song, Wonderful, Wonderful, Jesus is to me? We sing that song, Wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a counselor. He's a Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He. You know, the Bible said, and His name shall be called Emmanuel. You know, And the word Emmanuel means God with us. Isn't that right? And the reason for that is because Jesus was the little house or the little building in which God lived. God, the great eternal Spirit without measure, tabernacled in the body of His lovely Son, Jesus. It was God with the people, tabernacling in Jesus. So when Jesus came, they said, we'll just call Him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Isn't that right? So let's sing this song together, can we? Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's the Counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He. He's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Glory to His name. Oh, He's wonderful. Oh, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a Counselor and a Prince of Peace, and a mighty God is He. He's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Glory to His name. Oh, He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Jesus is to me. He's a Counselor and a Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Glory to His name. Don't you love Jesus? Ain't you glad you're a son of God? Hallelujah! Don't you feel the wonderful presence of God? Knowing that you are a son of God, don't you know that you're a son of God? Beloved, we know that we pass from death unto life. If you don't have that assurance and that feeling that you pass from the world of death into the world of light, how can you be happy? Oh, beloved friend, how can you be happy? Listen, this is the age when all of the burdens will be lifted. All of the heartaches will be taken away. See, the transit age is over. The mobile age is over. God has let the price of gas and all of this go up to stop people, to make them stop, make them settle down, to stop their... See, as long as they're in transit in their body, it is typical. It means they're in transit in their minds. Isn't that right? But see, God is stopping that transit of mind. See, we've done passed through that wilderness. We're going to know who we are. We're going to know what we are. We're going to know that God's with us. We're going to know that we pass from death unto life. It's time for that positive faith, because that's the kind of faith that's going to change the church. Isn't that right? See, you got to get out of that transit age. You got to get out of that wondering, that wilderness of wondering. Don't wonder anymore. Just believe what He said about it. Hallelujah. Get settled and get anchored. There, get established. No, hallelujah, what joy that'll be. It'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, when you settle down and all that wonder's over and all that trouble's over, that faith locks in, and the Spirit of God will begin to move, and out you'll go. Oh, beloved friend, what an hour this is. What a wonderful moment it is. God is receiving Israel. It's the moment. That's why they're signing that peace treaty. It's God receiving Israel. The days of the Gentiles are finished. Right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brother Jim, I feel like I can shoot up like a rocket. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sometimes I think maybe they ought to put a little hole up there just for safety. You love God? You know, it won't matter anyway, though. Jesus went right through the wall, didn't He? Didn't hurt Him. What a wonderful time this is. I can't help but bubble. I can't help but be glad. Oh my, how can I help but sing when down in my soul and down in my heart I feel something churning down inside of me, something driving me down there and rejoicing and bubbling such as I don't know how to explain it. There's no words of explanation. But I know it's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. What a wonderful time it is. While we sing this song together, just fellowship for just a few minutes and then I'll let you go. You know, when I drank water, just water alone, I tell you, that's sufficient for me to want to go to heaven. Just water alone. When I think about God doing away with all the water, won't have to put the flames on me. Just doing away with all the water. That's enough to make me want to follow Him. Like a fella said one time, we don't know what's going on. But we don't understand just exactly what's happening. And we don't know who's who. Said, like a big bunch of ducks on a pond, they don't know. All of them just out there. But said, after a while, when one of them raises up and begins to say, honk, honk, and he takes off, all of them falls in. And they get the bearings then. And that's what we need to do. Every one of us needs to rise up. We're sons of God. We're the body of Jesus Christ. And we need to get our little honk, honks together. Boy, I'll tell you, down in South America, they got plenty of honks. And when they get together, I mean, things start moving. You can believe that. If you don't believe it, you ask Brother Al. When they get them all together, I'm ready to move. That's right. That's what we need to do, is get them all together, get our voices together, get all of our little harps in tune together, and get to singing the songs of Zion. Get all together, children of God. Because that great hour is upon us. That great time is here. The hour is here, and the time of the promise drew near. See, the time came. The time came. The age of transit is over, which means the wilderness is past. If the wilderness be past, that answers for Israel's peace. That's why that Sadat, and that's why Begin, that's why the others came together and made the statement. Said, now's the time to beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks. Now's the time. And that's right. But not for the world. For then shall be trouble such as the world hath never known. Isn't that right? But don't let the world scare you. Somebody said, but oh, it's a fearful time. And the preacher said, beware, beware, but it's a fearful, fearful time. Oh, you must shake and tremble because something bad's going to happen to you at any time. Oh, I tell you, it ain't like that at all. Folks, we've been through our battles. We've been through our troubles. We've been through our hardships. We've been through the world of transit. Is that right? Right now, we're coming to our reward, and the world has had the goodies. The world has lived it up and had a good time. They're coming to their judgment now. We're coming to our peace. We're coming to our joy. We're coming to our happiness. We're coming to our inheritance. Look up. Thy redemption draweth nigh. This is our hour, and the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. This is our great hour now. That's why God's let all of the depression happen. Letting all these contractors be broke loose and all these men that's out yonder, a lot of them children of God mixed up in the business world out there. And God let this great depression come and that little recession to break them loose, to get them away where they won't be taken into that web of the businessman out there. He just had them out there long enough to testify to those businessmen out there and to do what they could so God would be clear in the day of judgment. But the depression made them all drop out. You understand what I'm saying? To get them together, to get their minds on God. Hallelujah. This is the hour. We sing that song, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a thought. And then we sing the song, we are marching, marching to Zion. Marching through Emmanuel's fields. Hallelujah. I'm going right down through Emmanuel's fields right now. Hallelujah. Right down through the fields. You love Jesus. I told my wife today, you know what's right? I said, Betty, the way some of them folks look at me over, I said, they don't believe what I'm saying. I said, they don't believe that this joy is in my heart. But oh my God, it is. It is. It is. God gave it to me and you can have it. He wants you to have it, friend. He wants you to have it. He wants you to be happy and at rest and at peace. He don't want you to be troubled. Oh, this great love, this great peace, this great rest. Oh, it just breaks me all to pieces on the inside. It's such a rest. It's such a peace. It gives me the comfort that I look for. all down through the years, entering into his rest. The transit age over, entering into his rest. Entering into his rest. You love him? Praise God. Hallelujah. I wonder if we could sing that little song, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. You know, I'm about decided just about everybody does know who he is now. That is by name. But they don't really know who he is, do they? Do they? They don't know that he's God. God was in the world and they recognized him not as God. They became foolish in their minds and their foolish minds would darken. Vain in their thinking. Let's sing that little chorus together. You know it, Brother John Lane used to sing it quite a bit here. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Oh, he's my lily of the valley. He's my bright and morning star. And he's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. He's the lily of my valley. He's my bright and morning star. The fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Don't you know who Jesus is? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know? Have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me? Jesus said to Thomas. We sang this song. Everybody ought to know. You know the one thing that the Lord will say in the day of judgment when they stand there? They'll say, Lord, didn't we do mighty great things? Didn't we do great and mighty things in your name? He said, I never knew you. And consequently, they never knew him either. Isn't that right? I want you to sing that with me again. And while we're singing it, I'm going to ask Jim to come up. And I felt a while ago that I wanted Jim to come up and lead a course or two just before we close. And he came in the door over there. So the Lord got him here right on time. But let's sing another verse of that song. Can we do it? Can we do it? Oh, you're a great people. You're such a beautiful people. You know, people wouldn't be a critic. They wouldn't be an old hard-hearted somebody that wanted to kill and destroy if they could ever see God in people. How could they? You walk by and see a beautiful little flower. Like over in the late evening, I went up here in the recording room where Bill's at. And I believe it was Jim or some of them. I reached over and I got a little old flower. It was a little red rose laying there. Beautiful flower and such a sweet odor. And I picked it up and I was sniffing on it, you know. And Jim or somebody, they said, go ahead, you can have it. He said, I got it for you. You know, and what would make you want to hurt anything like that or destroy anything like that or bruise anything like that? Why? See, why would you want to bring destruction? And why would you want to bring judgment? And why would you want to hurt something so lovely and something so beautiful? Why would you? Why? Satan The thief cometh but to rob and to steal and to kill and destroy. But I'm the good shepherd, Jesus said. I come to give my life for the sheep. I come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. See, more abundantly filled up and overflowing. That's the meaning of the word. Not only in this world, but the world to come. That's extensive life. Not only temporal life, but eternal life. Can we sing that song again? Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is.